Called Selah, which means to rest, to pause, to wait. And as we look at that, we're going to specifically address fathers from a psalm that deals with men, how godly men should live their lives. Faithful Fathers is the title of this morning's message, Psalm 112. I'm using this summer the today's NIV, so it's a little different. I usually use the New American Standard. So for the summer months, Tobev, it matches my brown outfit. That's why I'm doing it, actually. But not really, just a different version I've been reading through this year, and so using that, some of you have asked that over the last couple of weeks. Psalm 112, praise the Lord. Literally, a hallelujah is what it says in the Hebrew language. That's what praise the Lord is. Then he goes on and said, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious, compassionate, and righteous. Goodwill will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will not be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have scattered abroad their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Father, as we look at this psalm about faithful men, and we apply it to fathers, we pray that you would teach us truth and challenge us, but not only challenge us, but change us. In Christ's name, amen. I've been accused of being easy on women and hard on men in my preaching. Guilty. Guilty. In fact, this morning when I woke up, I had a text waiting for me. It's a friend in Fort Worth who used to attend TBC. He's been gone about 10 years. And he said, take it easy on the guys today. And so I sent it back to him and said, actually, today's going to be different. I'm going to hammer the ladies and kids and let the men skate. And then I put not at the end of it. You know, as men, we have the privilege and the responsibility to be leaders of our homes. It's a greater responsibility, and many of us as dudes are pretty thick-headed, and so we just need to be beat up and reminded in love that we need to follow God and be a model to Him. So I'm going to challenge you guys, but I'm also going to challenge the women who God has given you and the ones who are mothers of your kids as well. How many of you were with us last time we did House of Cards? We did a whole series in the family called House of Cards. In the middle of that series, we talked about understanding men and how women need to get an education on understanding the man and just men in general, but especially the man they're married to, because we are all pretty stereotypical. I've had numerous guys say, would you remind our wives of that one day? And without saying names or initials, I'm just going to say, I'll remind you ladies, this is what your man is like. This is how he thinks. These are four little things that we looked at last summer when we did House of Cards. Okay, guys, you ready? Because I'm a man, when I lock my keys in the car, I will fiddle with a coat hanger long after hypothermia or heat stroke has set in. Calling Papa Lock is not an option. I will win. Amen, guys? Amen. Who's going to call Papa Lock and spend $50 and get a coat hanger and take care of that? Because I'm a man, I must hold the television remote control in my hand while I watch TV. If the thing has been misplaced, I may miss a whole show looking for it. But one time I was able to survive by holding a calculator in my hand. How many of you men allow your women to handle the remote control when you're watching TV? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Because I'm a man, you don't have to ask me if I like the movie. Chances are, if you're crying at the end, I didn't. And if you're feeling amorous afterwards, then I'll certainly at least remember the name and recommend it to my buddies. Okay? And finally, because I'm a man, I think what you're wearing is fine. I thought what you were wearing 5 minutes ago was fine. Either pair of shoes is fine. With or without the belt is fine. Your hair is fine. You look fine. Can we just go? I'm not going to say anything about that. Just get myself in trouble. Faithful fathers. A faithful father makes his walk with God a priority. Psalm 112 talks about faithful fathers. Psalm 112 talks about how to be a faithful man. And in this psalm, it lays forth for us what a godly man does. When a man walks with God and when a man displays godly character, he impacts generations. Let me repeat that. When a man walks with God and displays godly character. I didn't say when he shows up to church or when he's religious. When a man walks with God and displays godly character, he impacts generations for the Savior. That's what Psalm 112 lays out for us. It talks about a godly man, how to be a faithful father, how to leave a lasting legacy, how to impact generations to come. If you look at verse 1, a faithful father makes a walk with God his priority. In verse 1, there are two clauses, two phrases, if you will. Praise in that it begins, praise the Lord, but then two commands. Blessed is the man who fears God. Blessed is the man who delights in his commands. Two things. The blessed man, we saw last week from Psalm 1, the blessed man is the fulfilled man, or he is the happy man. He's the man blessed of God. Blessed is the man who, first of all, fears God. That means he honors and respects God. Blessed is the man who honors God and respects God, and blessed is the man who greatly delights in God's commands. The man who lives an obedient lifestyle. To delight means to long for, that to follow the commands is what he's talking about. And so this is a man who knows the word so he can follow the word, and the scriptures say such a man is blessed of God. And so in verse 1, it says, a faithful father makes a walk with God his priority by fearing God and by obeying the commands of God. Let me put that in the context that we men live in. Let me talk about what that means. God is more than an afterthought. God is more than what happens at church on Sundays. God is more than someone who is for women and kids. What we're talking about, a pursuit of God, a godly man is one who is a businessman of integrity because he walks with God. That's what it means to fear God. A godly man is a man who, as a boss, is known for his fairness and his compassion. A faithful father is a man who keeps his word. A godly man, a faithful man, a righteous man, as the psalm calls him, is a husband who loves his wife, who is faithful to his wife, who is pure to his wife, who is kind to his wife. A godly man, a faithful father, a man of righteousness, is a dad who engages his children, who plays with his kids, who prays with his kids, who pursues his kids, who doesn't expect them to come to him, but he enters their world. That's what a godly man does. He's not physically present and emotionally absent, but he's physically present and he's emotionally caring. Dads, when we begin to make our walk with God a priority, we protect our family because we provide them with stability and we provide them with security and we provide them with love. You see, the reality of it is when a man walks with God, he's going to obey the scriptures, he's going to obey the commands of God, and when he obeys the commands of God, he's going to provide security and stability within his family. And so a faithful father, a godly man, a righteous man, is a man who makes his walk with God a priority. So guys, is it? Is it just an afterthought? Is it just something for women and kids? Or is it the crux of your life, walking with God? See, that's what a godly man does. A godly man, a faithful father, a godly husband, does each of those things. And some of you say, man, Gary, I'm so busy. You have no idea how busy I am. I know you're busy. We're all busy. But the reality of it is you can find time to do whatever it is you value. Have you noticed that? How many of you guys spent a little bit of time watching the Dallas Mavericks over the last couple of weeks? How many of you guys? Let me see your hands raising. There you go. A few of you guys. How many of you guys watched a little bit of the U.S. Open yesterday? Just watched some of the U.S. Open. There you go. How many of you guys been to the gym this week? What do you guys do? I mean, you find time for that which is important to you, don't you? If it's important, you're going to find time to do it. It's going to fit into your schedule. You're going to make it work, and it's going to be there. And the reality of it is a walk with God should be the greatest priority in our lives, because when that happens, then what takes place in our family has a sense of stability, a sense of security, because they know you're going to be a loving husband and a godly dad. So, guys, we make a walk with God a priority in our lives. You know, that's a blessing if you have that. It's a blessing. My folks have been staying with us, and my sister in New Orleans mailed a newspaper article. The newspaper in New Orleans interviewed my mom about 3 weeks ago. She grew up in an area in central Louisiana that flooded three or four times when she was a little girl, and there were floods in Louisiana recently. And so somehow, I don't know how it took place, New Orleans Times-Picayune found out about my mom, and they actually wrote this article on it. And in that was a picture of my grandfather, her dad. And he's a grandfather. He was, in my mind, the biggest man in the world. He was 6'3", about 220 pounds, solid muscle, woodsman, farmer, rancher, had all that stuff, just a huge man, especially in the eyes of a little boy. And here's a picture of my grandfather paddling, and I'm putting this sermon together, talking about generational impact. And you know the earliest memories I have of my grandfather? When he was in third grade, his father owned land and had sharecroppers. One of the sharecroppers became angry and poisoned some water that they had at a woodsman's camp and actually killed my great-grandfather, murdered my great-grandfather and his oldest son. And so my grandfather, in the third grade, dropped out of school. Third grade. Could barely read, could barely write, you can imagine, third grade. My earliest memories are my grandfather on the back porch in this rocker with a big old floppy King James Bible reading it every morning. Now, I'm educated beyond my intelligence, and I still can't read the King James Bible. But here was my grandfather with a third grade education every single morning in the Word of God, every day. And then I think, well, that's my grandfather. My mom was a godly woman who, when I was a five-year-old, led me to faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's her generation. And then I came to faith in Christ, and God blessed me with a godly wife. And we've got two kids, and they've come to know Christ, and their spouses know Christ. Because a third grade dropout was a faithful father. That's why. Men, you can have generational impact. The most important thing is not what you leave to your kids, it's what you put into your kids. See, a lot of us, we spend a lot of hours in the salt mines. I've got news for you. You go through the windshield tomorrow, life continues in that salt mine. But the reality of it is you can't be replaced in that home. And you think you're working all these hours, you know, 16, 18 hours a day to leave to your sons and daughters things that they want. If you're doing that, they're probably so angry to begin with because what they want is daddy and not daddy stuff. And then secondly, the most important thing you can give them is a bit of your time. A faithful father makes a walk with God his priority. Hey, if you've got, you're a kiddo here and you've got, I don't care if you're my age, older, younger, and you've got a faithful father here or the husband of your kids is a faithful man, I always have the men do this to the wives, but I'm going to have the wives do this to the husband. You reach over, you give them a great big old hug, you give them a smack right here in front of God and the whole world. You got a faithful father to your kids, you do that right now. I got one coming to me right here. Want to stick around for a while? She's been gone for 7 days. I just saw her last night about 10:30 for the first time, so we can come up here and, we better not do that. A faithful father impacts generations. Look at verses 2 and 3. In verse 2, he says that the children, his children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. He says a faithful father, one who fears God, one who obeys the commands of God, will have a lasting impact. You know, I'm grateful my dad taught me how to throw a ball, how to hit a ball, how to catch a ball, taught me how to shoot a ball. My dad was a great athlete. I was an average athlete. But he taught me all those things. He taught me how to hunt. He taught me how to swim. But you know what I'm more grateful for? My dad taught and modeled before me how to love my wife. He taught and modeled before me how to parent my kids. He taught and modeled before me how to honor God with my life. And I'm glad I learned how to shoot a ball and throw a ball and catch a ball and hit a ball and how to hunt and how to swim and other stuff that guys do. But you know, I'm grateful for those other things immensely more. Our folks have been staying, my folks have been staying with us for a while, and my mom's in declining health and my dad's in good health. He's 81 and still in good health, fit. And he's got to take care of my mom. He's got to do a lot for her right now. I mean, everything you can imagine. She cannot do much on her own. And Bev noticed that a few months ago, and so she told my dad, she said, you're doing a great job with Mommy. We appreciate it. It's such an encouragement to us to see. You know what his response to her was? They've been married 58 years. He looked at Bev and he said, I took my vows seriously. Wow. 58 years ago. Say, so, you know, I'm just doing what I promised God and this woman I would do. 58 years later. 58 years later. You see, a faithful father impacts generations. Not because of what he gets for them, but what he gives to them. And it's my prayer, guys, that we'll be found faithful in this way. Jim Dobson puts it this way. When I reach the end of my days, I hope to look back on something more meaningful than the pursuit of homes and land and machines or computers and stocks and bonds. I will consider my earthly existence to have been wasted unless I can recall a loving family, a consistent investment in the lives of the people, an earnest attempt to serve the God who made me. Some of us men probably need to apologize. You say, I'm sorry I spend so much time at the office, things that really matter more to me than they do to you. And we need to begin to invest where it really matters. And it's hard to do that sometimes. I mean, it's hard to do that. It's difficult. It's hard to be faithful sometimes in doing that. But the reality of it, guys, if you were hit and killed by a big truck today, hopefully after lunch sometime, if that happened to you, you'll never be replaced at home. You may be missed at the office for a little while, but your family will miss you forever. They're watching you. You can make an impact for generations. He maintains perspective during difficult times. A faithful father, thirdly, he maintains perspective during difficult times. If you look at the next verse, verse 4, it says, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. No matter how difficult times come, the godly man does not panic. No matter how dark it is, the godly man knows that God is in control, and so he trusts him even in the midst of difficult times. And some of you guys have been through difficult times. You've been through the difficult times of unemployment, the difficult times of sick kids, sick spouse, wayward kids, wayward spouse. You've been through difficult things, but you have proven to be faithful men. God bless you. God bless you. Keep being faithful. Keep honoring God with your life. Because a faithful father maintains his, he doesn't bolt and leave his family. He doesn't run when times are difficult. He doesn't panic in the midst of chaos. But he stands firm and he stands tall. That's what a godly man does. He stands firm and he stands tall. Not because he's a tough guy. Not because he's a martial arts expert. Not because he can shoot to kill. Not because he's earned millions. But he stands firm and he stands tall because he knows his God is in control. That's why. And so a faithful father maintains his perspective during dark times. Dark times. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes our kids don't understand. One author writes, one summer evening during a violent thunderstorm, my wife was tucking our 3-year-old son into bed and she was about to turn the light out when he asked with a tremor in his voice, Mommy, would you spend the night with me tonight? My wife gave him a reassuring hug and she said, I can't, dear. I have to sleep with Daddy. There was a long silence. Then my 3-year-old said, the big sissy. Even in the darkness, light dawns for the upright. He doesn't lose his perspective. Next, a faithful father lives generously. Faithful father lives generously. And some of you guys think, man, that's all I do. I work to dole it out. I mean, I go to work all the time. I'm generous. I don't even see anything I get. Man, I just give it all out the whole time. It's interesting that this would be something the author capitalizes on and mentions. Look at verse 5. Good will come to the one who is generous and lends freely. And then you drop down to verse 9. They have scattered abroad their gifts to the poor. You see, a good father, a faithful father, a godly man is a generous man. Some of you may need to hear that. You're a generous man. You know, and it takes place in a lot of different ways. Are you generous? a generous man. Maybe you can show that generosity through supporting a missionary. Maybe it's through adopting a kid through Compassion or World Vision, or maybe just adopting a child like many of our families are doing, or just making sure that you tithe on a regular basis. A generous man is one who is first generous to God, because God is a generous God. In fact, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he did what? Gave. Your God is a generous God. In fact, the Son gave his very life. The scriptures say the Son of Man came not to be served, Mark 10:45, but to serve. Your Father is generous, his Son is generous, so you should be generous. That's the reality. Be a generous man. Be a generous man. Now, that does not mean indulging our families in everything they need. Ladies, that does not mean indulgence. It does not mean you get everything you want or you pitch sissy fits when you don't. Ladies, I'm talking to you. You got me? Doesn't mean that. But the reality of it is we should be generous. We should work on these things together. Be generous to Dad, too. I mean, be generous to Dad. Make sure that Dad, you can be generous in any number of ways. You can be generous in taking him to lunch today, or be generous with whatever, but be generous to Dad. I mean, you've got even adult kids. I mean, be generous to them. Our kids are adults now. Our son-in-law is a physician. Our son's a physician, but I'm still the daddy. When we go out to lunch, I'm going to buy dinner. I mean, I'm the daddy. And you know where I got that from? My daddy, the shipyard worker. Guy who's probably never made more than a third of what I've made annually in his life. But we go to dinner, he's going to buy dinner. I go to dinner, I'm taking my kids to dinner. Now one day, they're both physicians, I expect them to send us on cruises and around the world. Bill and Daniel, I hope you listen to this sermon. But I mean, here's the reality. Be generous. Be generous. Be generous with everything God has given you. Don't hoard. You ever watch that hoarding show? I've seen it 2 times. I've never thought, you know, I don't get sick to my stomach. That would be amazing. That would register on the Richter scale. But the reality of it is, man, you watch that stuff, people are sick. And if you're a hoarder, call me. I can help you. We don't keep anything. And we get rid of everything. We'll get rid of kids, everything else, if they stick around too long. A godly father, a faithful father, not only does he live generously, he lives confidently and not fearfully. It goes along with what we said before. Look at verses 6 through 8. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They'll be remembered forever. Their hearts will have no fear in bad news. Their hearts are steadfast. Why? Look at the end of verse 7. Because they trust in the Lord. Man doesn't walk around fearful all the time if he walks with God. And walk around saying, man, well, look at the world's coming to. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go buy a bunker and house, you know, put all this stuff in there. It's like, come on, dude. You don't live fearfully. You live wisely, but you don't live in fear because your God is in control. Some of you live in fearfully. You're fearful about money. You live fearful about the world. You live fearful about yourself. You live fearful you can get some disease. You live fearful. And rather than enjoying life, you live a fearful life. That's too bad. God doesn't want it that way. He says, the godly man does not have to fear. Instead, he trusts in the Lord. Bill Hybels is a pastor of Willow Creek Community Church. It's one of the largest churches in America. And he's a sailor. In this article, he says, when I first learned how to sail, I was in junior high. And my dad would let me take a sailboat on Lake Michigan. I can't imagine whatever possessed him to let me do that. Junior high kid taking a sailboat on Lake Michigan. He would say, go ahead, Bill, but make sure you take a friend with you. He had a 42-foot sailboat, and we would go out on this body of water. We'd go out on this large body of water, and it was a big responsibility. I'd find a junior high companion to go with me. We'd sail past the breakwaters, hoist the sails, head out to the open water. But as soon as I saw a cloud formation coming our way or the wind began to pick up, I'd head back towards the shore, take the sails down, regain my normal breathing pattern whenever we got to the docks. Most of the time, it was fun having a friend, but I knew in a storm, a junior high kid who is not a sailor would be of no help. He's right, isn't he? But listen how he finishes this up. Other times, when my dad would come in from work, he would change clothes and say, Bill, let's go sailing. when I was sailing with my dad in the boat, I'd actually look for cloud formations and hope for heavy winds. I loved the feeling of the strong winds and the huge waves as it battered against our boat. You see, my dad sailed across the Atlantic Ocean by himself one time. He endured 5 days of sailing through a hurricane one time. He was a master sailor. I was confident if my dad was with me in the boat, he could handle anything Lake Michigan could throw at us. Everything changed when my dad was with me. That's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying a faithful father doesn't walk around in fear. You know why? Because he has a father he can trust. And he's on board with you guys. Finally, a faithful father is one who confounds the wicked. You see, when the world sees a godly man, they don't know what to do. In the last verse of this psalm says, the wicked will see this man and be vexed. They'll gnash their teeth and they'll waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. The longings are to destroy the righteous. But the reality of it is he's not going to be able to destroy the righteous. Dads, invest in what will bring you great dividends. Your kids. Grandpas, we've got a great gig, don't we? We'll go later on this afternoon and spoil 3 grandboys and then leave them to their parents. It's a great job. It's a great job. But you know what? You can also be a great influence and come alongside those kids and impact even the next generation for the Savior. I've told you when our grandboys come, one of the things I love to do with them, I love to pick them up one by one and I whisper in their ear. Ever since they were babies, I whisper in their ear, honey loves you, Papa Doe loves you, Jesus loves you, nibble in their ear and they just start laughing. And last time Grayson stayed with us about 4 or 5 weekends ago and we had just him, not his older brothers, and he's 2.5 years old and picked him up and Grayson, honey loves you, Papa Doe loves you, Jesus loves you, nibbled on his ear, and he starts laughing, and I set him down, and he looks up at me and goes, more, more, more. They teach him sign language, more, more, more. So you pick him up, and again, you do it again and again. Finally, you put him down because your arms aren't going to say you're on your own, kid, but you do as much as you can, and you impact those generations for the Savior, because as godly grandparents, we have an opportunity to reinforce what our kids are building into their lives. Don't miss that opportunity. Dads, for great dividends, you all want investment tips? Here it is. Invest in your kids. A father is a person who is forced to endure childbirth without anesthesia. Remember those days, guys? A father never feels entirely worthy of the worship in his child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks, nor quite the man his son believes him to be. Father is a man who watches his wife cry at weddings and graduations and showers. He stands by beaming on the outside and dying on the inside. Except for me, I'm a 3 hanky guy at a John Wayne movie. I cry with the women. Fathers are men who give their daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough for them, so they can have children that are smarter than anybody else's. It's true. Fathers go off to battle every day fighting dragons. They work in the office. They supply for their family. They live godly lives. And when a faithful father passes away, he'll be missed. His chair will be painfully empty. But because he's been faithful, there'll be other generations to carry on. I want to sign up for that. What about you guys? Invest in that generation, so more will follow. What a privilege. Well, now that we're all crying, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and when they're coming up, we're going to end with a video that captures fathers.
And I had an epiphany, a moment where it all came together. This past summer, we were coming back from vacation. 10 minutes, packed up, and we're going 10 minutes, come to a red light. As I'm at the red light, I look out the window. There's a brand new pickup truck right next to me. I'm like, oh. And then I look in the back. There's a beautiful golden retriever with a head out the window. I'm like, oh, cool dog. And in the back, brand new Harley Davidson chrome package. The guy looked over. I'm just like, oh. Because that's what we do. And he looked over at me and he kind of, back and kind of laughed. And I was like, what is he laughing at? And then it dawned on me. I'm in a minivan. It is impossible to look cool in a minivan. And I'm not buying really cool toys for thousands of dollars. I'm spending hundreds of dollars on things you don't call your friends about. I don't go, hey, Rob, come over. I've got a new water heater. No, we'll wash our hands. That'll be great. You don't do that. And I started to distract myself. I kind of fiddled with the mirror and I saw something I have never seen before in my life. On the top of my ear, there is a hair growing straight out. It's like this long. That's not the bad part. I looked at my wife. I said, Heather, look at this. Her response, oh yeah, I saw that the other day. What? You thought I wanted that there? Braid it with the others, make a little ponytail or something? That was interrupted by my two boys in the back fighting over who gets to pick the movie and who gets the electronic Ritalin. And that was interrupted by them going, Daddy, Kennedy smells bad. And sure enough, the smell waves forward, and I'm thinking, 10 minutes. We've been on the road 10 minutes. Why not 10 minutes ago? Why not 10 minutes from now? And if you are a dad, you knew what I was doing. I'm calculating, how far can I go focused without having to stop before this smell burns my eyes shut? That is interrupted by my dog discovering the other dog and begin to barking at that dog. I call him a dog. I wanted a dog. My wife said, let's get a dog. And I'm like, yeah. I'm thinking German Shepherd, Golden Retriever. We have a 12-year-old, 4.5-pound Yorkshire Terrier. It's like having a barking hamster. The only thing dog size on my dog is his tongue. If you took a German Shepherd tongue, grafted it to a gerbil, that's what I've got. He falls asleep, the drool spot is bigger than he is. And the light turned green, and we began to go. And as we drove off, it was as if this voice came to my head, Ken, if you could switch right now, if you could choose right now, you could choose the new truck and the new dog and the cool motorcycle, or you can keep the minivan and the wife that leaves you hanging and the kids in the back and the smell of the barking hamster. Which do you want? I got to tell you, 10 times out of 10, I would choose the minivan. Because I have found more joy and more purpose and more fulfillment and more comedy material in the minivan. And that is why the greatest joy in my life and what I do is because I am a dad. God bless you and thank you for coming tonight.
You know, in the midst of the battle, sometimes we forget, don't we? Sometimes we forget the great joy it is, the great privilege we have. It's my prayer, guys, that you'll be a faithful father, walk with the Savior, honor Him to impact generations. Bev and I would be in the back. We'd love to pray with you about anything. Worship team's going to sing. And why don't you just thank God for dads? Why don't you pray for dads? Why don't you pray for the dads in our body? Why don't you thank God for the husband God's given you if he's a faithful man? Put your arm around him while we sing a song, or while they sing a song, and while they lead us. Come to the back if you want to pray.
We were sinners, you would send Christ, that he would die, that we would be blameless and pure, that we would be your sons and your daughters. So Lord, as we honor the earthly fathers this day, above all, we honor you for all that you do for us and how you love us, who you are and who you will always be. We go our way in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.